Hi, everybody. So I'm back with the recap of last night's episode. It was kind of an interesting one because we saw Teresa, who has kind of been on the sidelines for most of the season, despite being a six-time competitor prior to this. She definitely gets the spotlight a lot, and we're going to see that unfold later in the episode. But the first thing, and just a recap of the prior week's episode, Fessy was upset that Anissa won the elimination and chose him as her partner again. I mean, I did feel bad for her just given his reaction. It was very clear that he was not happy about it, but you can also see both perspectives because the thing with Anissa is that I feel like she doesn't really participate unless she feels a need to do so. I strongly feel like if she didn't need to go in and get her skull, she probably wouldn't. And another thing that upsets him is that Tori's gone, who's somebody that he felt very close to. They've had a relationship outside of the show, and it's just not really a good thing for him. I guess the silver lining is that now Casey doesn't have that target on her back, and now they can still be in the same alliance without being in the same pair, which could be helpful to their game, but we'll just have to see how that happens because they're not really a main storyline. The main storyline is that a lot of people don't think Teresa is trustworthy because she has been trying to make friends with the vets and also trying to make friends with the rookies. She is a six-time competitor, as I mentioned before, but she's not really friends with a lot of the vets besides Anissa. She knows Nani, but she's not really friends with Nani. She knows Wes, not his friend, and plus, he's not in the game anymore, so that doesn't really matter. So she's trying to be friends with multiple people, which I can understand because, again, the lack of friendships that she has. She hasn't played this game in probably half a decade. So there's been so many more vets that have come along that she doesn't know about any of them. So now she has to play with people who she's just meeting because it kind of feels like she's a rookie again. There's kind of a scene where all of the girls are talking about how much they don't trust Teresa, how she's playing both sides. And Nani is kind of at the forefront of that argument, which I also think is funny because Nani knew about the vote and she didn't tell Anissa about it either. Nani was completely on board to vote Anissa in, even though they were friends. Not the best of friends, but enough to where I feel like Nani would have told her. And Nani's like, oh, well, Teresa's not to be trusted. I want to forget what happened in the past, but I can't. And you realize that their beef happened 10 seasons ago. And if you're still holding on to that, I feel like that's going to be a detriment to your game. So I think that's definitely going to backfire on Nani. I mean, if she can get the target on somebody else, good for her. But if it was me, I wouldn't want to hold grudges like that. Because I think that people are going to eventually realize that Nani is also not as trustworthy as she seems. But Teresa is at the forefront right now. Lolo, who's a rookie, decides to confront her and figure out where her head is at in the game. And they get into a little bit of an argument. Lolo comes on way too strong, in my opinion. She's like, well, where do you stand? Where's your head at? And Teresa's kind of, hesitant to tell her, or at least to tell her the truth, just because she doesn't want to give away her game plan, which why would you? But Lolo just really wants to get it out of her. I feel like Lolo was pretty aggressive during this argument. Even if she didn't mean to be, I think that's just her personality. I watched her a little bit on Celebrity Big Brother, and she basically acted the same. So I think that just being in this reality TV forefront for her can be kind of hard because maybe she doesn't know how to control her emotions. And she wasn't really able to get what she wanted. And she was able to frazzle Teresa a little bit, but now she probably just put a target on her back. So it's like pseudo rookie versus real rookie, and it'll be interesting to see if their argument really becomes anything more than just what it was that day. When it comes to the majority of the rookies, the editing has not been exactly in their favor. And for the first time since the preseason special, we get to hear from Leo. He tells a story about how he grew up in a group home, and even waking up in the double agent's house is somewhat triggering to him because these are strangers and these are people who he doesn't know very well. So we get to hear about that. It's a really heartbreaking yet honest story. He decides to pull his partner aside, and essentially he decides that he's going to leave the game because that's best for his mental health. And we get to have them have like a special moment, and it's really kind of sweet. And it's good to know that he was able to prioritize what was most important to him. And he put his mental health and his well-being over the prospect of $1 million, which I'm sure was very hard for him, but I think that he made the right decision. And TJ would have to agree with me, because at the challenge, TJ says that I 100% support mental health. The challenge is not your life. Focus on your health. It doesn't really matter if you're here if you're not doing well personally. And then Cam talks about mental health too, and just what they say I feel like really hits hard for a lot of people, because I think that people are so quick to judge others. They think that they're not cut out for the game, or that it's just not for them, which could be true, but you don't need to say it in a condescending manner. If it's not cut out for them, that's just it. And there could be a lot of different reasons for that. Like for Leo, it was triggering. And until we're able to stand in either his shoes or anybody else's shoes, like, we're never going to know exactly what their experiences have been like. Even if they're similar, it's still not the same. So if I was to have grown up in a group home, my experience could have been different than his. And that's just how it is. I'm not going to judge him for having a different perspective than me. I would actually commend him for making the right decision. And I truly feel like he made the right decision. It was sad to see him go, but I'm happy that he was able to recognize the signs before it got a lot worse. Because the farther you get in the game, it might be harder for you to leave, because you think, I'm so close to that $1 million, I can almost taste it. And I don't care about what else is going on. So I think it was the right decision for him to leave, and the right decision for him to leave when he did. So I support that 100%. And if he ever sees this, I just hope that he knows that he has a lot of people in his corner, especially my mom too. She almost cried. I almost cried too. It was very emotional. Something that I think a lot of people aren't used to. But it's good to have stories like that to show those with mental health issues that they're not alone. So getting back to the game, that would mean that Devin and Gabby are partners now, because Devin is a rogue agent as of last episode. And now Gabby is kind of rogue without a partner, so they just team up. Devin says that they're the most attractive pair in challenge history, which I think multiple people could debate. I mean, good on him for being confident, but I'm just kind of getting tired of hearing his voice all the time. And I don't know how good of a partnership they're going to be. I wouldn't say that Gabby reminds me of Tori in any way. Like, I think she's almost the exact opposite, but I've heard that Devin made up with Tori right away. So I'm going to be interested to see how he treats Gabby, whether it's actually good or whether it's poorly. The challenge that the teams have to participate in is essentially a mini final. They have to carry a capsule on their shoulders and run a 5-mile race with checkpoints along the way. These checkpoints include puzzles, running through water. I don't quite remember what the others were, but I believe that there was one where they had to hoist themselves on top of the capsule and get over the wall using the capsule. So if you're not in shape, I think this is going to be very hard for you. Even watching it, I feel like I don't know if I can do that, at least not right now in my life. I could run a mile. I mean, probably not as fast, but I could still run it. The good thing is that a lot of people started walking, which I think that if you were super ahead, you could walk. So that's why it's an incentive to be in first or second. But immediately we see certain teams struggling due to like height disproportions, like Anissa and Fessy, Big Teen CT. The female is a lot smaller than the male, so it makes it hard for them to carry it because the female is probably going to have to hold it up like over her head, which is going to tire you out a lot quicker. But it does look pretty interesting just based on the results in the beginning. There's a lot of people it's doing well to start off that you wouldn't expect. I'm pretty sure that Amber M and Michi were in first and Jay and Teresa were in last, and that changes a lot as you go on. The first checkpoint is hoisting your partner over the capsule to get over the wall, and everybody's able to do that, obviously, because you can't really time out on that. But Anissa and Fessy come last, and I've already started to notice that Anissa isn't really understanding the purpose of the mini final. Later during the challenge, she says that, well, this isn't the final, we don't need to win this. And I think that is exactly why she hasn't won a final, because she feels like it's never going to be the end all be all, that she doesn't have to give it her all, which in this game, you should always be fighting hard. And I feel bad for her partner because he wants to be able to get ahead and get first place, and they can't do that. Which, I mean, in a way, there's really nothing wrong with being second to 11th place. Like, being last place is not going to guarantee you to go into elimination, but it's a bad look for them because they both have skulls. And people might think, well, you lost the challenge, so I'm going to throw you in and then go get your skull. The winners of the challenge, though, obviously become double agents. They get a boost from the new sponsor, P3, which is those little protein packs with meat, cheese, and nuts. And they also get $3,000 apiece. And basically, the whole time, Ashley and Corey are in the lead until they go the wrong way, which sucks because Ashley did really well on the puzzle, which was the previous checkpoint. She basically blew everybody out of the water. 8 out of the 11 teams timed out. So the teams that didn't time out were her and Corey, Jay and Teresa, and Anissa and Fessy, which didn't make much of a difference for Anissa and Fessy because they were in last no matter what, but they still didn't time out. And when I was reading the amount of people that timed out, I'm like, holy cow, is it really that hard to sum up 38 on each column and row? It can't be that difficult. You know, just go cheat, like, if you really need to. I don't condone cheating in any circumstance, but even cheating could be getting those little number games on your phone and practicing. Well, that's just being prepared. That's not really cheating. That just gives you an advantage. And if other people choose to not do that, then that's on them. Ashley chose to do that. She was making fun of everybody else, and it was kind of funny. But them going in the wrong direction essentially leads them to being second. Jay and Teresa are able to pass them, and Jay and Teresa win by probably 5 to 10 seconds. And they also get an extra $3,000 apiece. Corey was very upset about that. I thought that he was going to die because he just fell to the floor in agony. And I mean, I would be upset too, but it's still not the final. It's still not the $1 million. And even if you win $3,000, like, that's probably going to put a massive target on your back. So you're probably not going to get the chance to get to the million anyway. So I think that wasn't such a big deal to them. It was just winning and being safe. Because Ashley had already gone home once that season, and she came back in place of Natalie, who, ironically enough, actually sent her home the first time. And now she's second place. Now she's vulnerable to go in. Another partnership that I feel like is kind of failing, besides Anissa and Fessy, who I mentioned before, is Nam and Lolo. They're really not that good. You would think that they would dominate in everything, but Lolo acts like Nam doesn't listen to her enough and that he is kind of selfish and that he doesn't want to play very hard. She yells at him because he doesn't want to run across the finish line, even though they're already in 9th or 10th place. So what's the point of running when that's not really going to change anything? But she says, I was an athlete. I never run across the finish line. But I don't think she does anything that would regard running anyway. I know that she does bobsled. I think she does skiing. And I can't really recall what else she does. Those might be the only two things. But obviously, you're not going to be running. You're not going to get out of your bobsled and run it through the finish line. But I think her point is to say that I always try to finish hard. And she's upset that he didn't finish hard. And she feels like he doesn't talk to her enough. And later in the episode, they kind of argue about it a lot more. And I mean, I feel bad because on one hand, it's really commendable that she wants to compete so hard, but she's not the fairest partner to him. And I could tell that he's definitely getting hurt by the way that she talks to him. And it's hard for him to participate in that environment. So maybe each of them can get a new partner because I just don't know how long they're going to last. Since Teresa is in power, Ashley is obviously nervous about going in because she seems like she would be a major target. Even though last episode, I don't feel like she was a target at all. So she got lucky in that everybody was targeting Tori and Denisa, or else I feel like she would have gone in and maybe gone home. I feel like she could have beat either one of them, though, in that specific elimination. Because, I mean, Tori wanted a weak competitor, and Anissa probably wouldn't have won if she didn't have a better strategy. So I think that Ashley could have won. But obviously now she's in danger for real this time. So she talks to Teresa, and Teresa has this book in her hand, and it reminds me of Free Agents. When Laurel had a book full of people who, like, she wanted to throw in, she basically had them in order of who she trusted versus who she didn't trust. And it's kind of funny because at that time, Teresa was her main rival because everybody thought that Teresa was not trustworthy at that time as well. And the two of them got into a fight during the reunion, and then now Teresa is kind of using some of Laurel's tactics. And I mean, it helped Laurel in a way. I don't know if it really directly impacted her game, but she still won the championship. And so she was pretty self-aware, and she knew like who was going to be her rival, who was going to be close to her, and who she wanted in the final. So Teresa has this book in front of her, but she doesn't say anything to Ashley, and Ashley's definitely getting nervous. And Ashley ends up confronting her a little while before deliberation. She says that, well, you've talked to everybody except for me, so I want to talk to you. I just want to figure out where your head's at. And Teresa tells her, well, we're good. You know, but of course, if I'm in Ashley's shoes, I'm going to be pretty concerned. Because if you're talking to everybody else except for me, that would obviously make it seem like you're going to throw me in. So I think what Teresa should have done was pull everybody aside to kind of make it seem like everybody's good, like nobody has anything to worry about. So that way people can't really figure out that it's them. Because if you're talking to everybody except for one person, that one person is definitely going to think that they're in trouble. So it turns out that Teresa does want Ashley and Corey to be the house vote because they got second place in the challenge. And Ashley is basically Teresa's biggest competitor if it turns out that the final is like that. So Teresa could take, you know, second place, and Ashley could end up winning and take the million. So Teresa doesn't want that. She wants very weak people. But obviously she doesn't want to go in and do it herself. So she wants Ashley to be the house vote so that way and Teresa can plan it out and figure out who can beat Ashley in the crater. They don't even know that it's girls yet, but that's her plan. So I think she's just banking on the fact that she's going to be right. At deliberation, I was really impressed by Ashley's pitch. It was fair. It was polite. She didn't put anybody else down. She basically just said, well, I'm not going to tell you why you shouldn't keep somebody, but I'm going to tell you why you should keep me. And I had a lot of respect for her for doing that. It was a really strong pitch because she basically targeted it towards the men. Like, men, you should want to keep me because you have a good chance to win with me. Because, mind you, she's made 3 finals and she's a 2-time champ. So obviously she is doing something correct. And if I was a guy, I would want to be her partner. Because she's really good at puzzles, she can do endurance, and most guys, I think, can pick it up on the physical portion. So whoever she's with, I think, has a good chance to win. And then Amber M is like, well, basically says, well, if you mean me, like, just say that. You know, she's basically trying to target Ashley for and trying to get her in. And then Michi gets involved and says, well, if you're throwing my partner in, you're basically throwing me in too. Which, I mean, is so true because it is a pairs game right now. But both of you aren't participating. And he makes a comment about Ashley stealing the money. Why would you let her get to the end so she can steal money from you? And that storyline is just becoming so tired and annoying. I'm not saying that people should 100% support her decision, but I support it because Hunter treated her like crap the entire season. He was never a good partner to her. They came in late anyway, so there was already that sort of target, and I feel like he just made it worse by being so horrible to her. And then everybody thinks that she's the bad one in the scenario. But, I mean, if Bananas was to take money from Michi, like, would Michi be so upset, or is it just because Ashley's a strong competitor? And, by the way, Michi, you have to make it to the final for somebody to take your money. And with that, like, it's pretty likely that you probably are going to get taken, because if she finds out, she's going to be upset. I don't know if that's reason enough to take somebody's money just because they think that you're going to do it. But I think the thing with Ashley is that she knows her worth and people are afraid of that. But a vet that does recognize her worth is Darrell. He makes a really good point that keeping these piss poor rookies who can't really compete very well and are just there for the followers, like, they can be a detriment in the end because they don't really care about the game itself. They care about what happens after the game. Are they going to get a lot of followers? Are they going to get more TV appearances? Are they going to keep getting invited back and getting these appearance checks? So, I mean, Darrell's got it right. Like, you obviously don't want to have strong males around, but you want strong females around because that's who you're going to be partnered with, not necessarily the guys. For the same gender, you want the people you can beat, but for opposite gender, you want people who you can work with. And that's why Darrell has won 4 times before, because he actually understands that. The house makes their vote, and it turns out that Ashley and Corey are selected. I did notice, however, that there were a lot of burn votes. I think there were burn votes on Devin and Gabby, burn votes on Anissa and Fessy, which didn't really make sense to me. I think that's kind of a cop-out if you're really not picking somebody who you know would go in. It's a good strategy to not get people upset at you, but if I find out that I'm a burn vote, I think I would be kind of mad. Because why would you waste your vote on me when you could have put it on anybody else? Like, it's obviously very risky to do that. But besides that, after Teresa finds out, she has a conversation with Cam about would Cam go in if it's a headbanger or basically something that she feels like she can do well in. And Cam agrees to do that, but only if it's something physical. She doesn't want to go in otherwise, which, I mean, you should go in if you feel like it's your strong suit. And sometimes you don't know what the challenge is going to be until you actually get there. Or even worse, you start participating. But we get to the crater after some talking amongst people. And Teresa and Jay have decided during that time that they might want to vote in Nani and Josh. Just because they feel like they can't trust them very much. But When Teresa sees what the challenge is, she is having second thoughts. She thinks that she might vote in Cam, even though it's not what Cam wanted. But she decides to vote in Cam anyway. And Cam is pretty upset. She says, well, this isn't a headbanger. Like, Teresa and Jay are really going to be in trouble if they vote me in. And then they do it anyway. They kind of blindside her. And they also blindside Kyle, who says, well, thanks for the heads up. I mean, he said that last time, too. So I think he just wants a heads up. But more upset than them are Ashley and Corey. Both of them feel blindsided by the house. Corey talks about he can't trust anybody, which is pretty common knowledge. Corey, come on. But I feel his anger because he felt like he was so good with them. And Jay told him, like, looked him in the eye and promised him, I'm not going to put you in. Which, obviously, he went back on that. And I'm pretty sure Jay promised Kyle that he wouldn't be going in either. And, I mean, it could end up backfiring on Jay because we're made to believe that it's going to be the men competing. Because CJ says, this is an elimination for the men. And then Ashley's like giving people the middle finger. She thinks that she's going to be safe. And then TJ says to watch your partners. So he totally blindsides us too, because I thought that it was going to be men this entire time. But I think with the editing, it kind of made sense that it was going to be Ashley. I mean, if they were really trying to edit it and make it suspicious, it would have been men because Corey wasn't really on anybody's radar at the time. It was just Ashley. But then it turns out that she has to go in against Cam. And I'm pretty sure that they're friends outside of the game. I don't know what their relationship is like inside of the game. I mean, Cam kind of led the charge to get CT and Ashley voted in during the first episode because CT didn't pick her, which, again, I think was kind of stupid on his part because he ended up with Big T, who is very lovely, very underrated as a political competitor, but not as like a physical competitor. And I could tell that he's kind of starting to regret that. And now he wants Cam back, which isn't really going to work. So the elimination requires the ladies to fly in the air, kind of like Peter Pan, and hook reins on posts. They have to stop on this little box to kind of gain momentum. And immediately, both of them kind of struggle with it. I feel like if it was me, I would get the momentum and then put the rein on the post and then kind of just hang there for a little bit. And then see if I can get enough momentum to just swing across. Because that way you're just hanging there. I feel like the more you hang there, the more power you might have to swing. But, Ashley struggles essentially the entire time. She ends up getting in 3 rings, but she ends up dropping 2. And if you drop any, you have to wait until you've used up the rest of your rings to go down and get them. Which at that point, she could have only hooked 1 ring and Cam could have hooked 5 and then it would have been game over. And plus, it's probably harder to get down and go grab them because you have to climb down the ladder, you have to grab the reins, and you have to climb back. And that's probably already wasting a minute. So I think that Ashley just didn't have the best strategy, especially since she did try to throw a rein on the post. She thought it would work. It didn't work. And Ashley ends up losing for the second time this season. And I think that this is the only elimination so far. Okay, no, that's not true. The second elimination so far where I would have been sad if either one of them went home and happy that either one of them came back. And the other one that I felt the same way was also Ashley and Natalie because I like them a lot. I used to not like Ashley very much. Honestly, kind of superficial, but I thought her voice was kind of annoying and it kind of made her seem like an airhead, but she's a lot smarter than people like to give her credit for. And she's super self-aware. She knew that it wasn't her season to begin with. And she still wanted to fight, though. Like, she still wanted to compete, which I think is the sign of a really good competitor because you don't want to count yourself out yet. She could still make it to the final and still win some money. She might not win, but she could still walk away with something or make it very far. But unfortunately, since the whole Hunter issue and people making it such a big deal, she's become a target in some people's eyes. even though the same people that are calling her snake are also being snakes to her. So it's, you know, kind of like a mutual feeling amongst people. But it doesn't really matter because Ashley's out of the game now. You get a really strong competitor out. And it was interesting and cool to see Cam dominate, since I think that's probably going to have the bigger impact. She'll probably go at Teresa and Jay a lot harder. Ashley tells Cam, like, make the final, make sure that Teresa doesn't have an easy chance to get a skull. And there's a lot of ways to make sure that she doesn't have an easy chance. You can put her in against somebody who she can't beat. You can put her in something that she's not strong at, or you could just not put her in at all. She gets no opportunity to get the gold skull, and she doesn't make it to the final. So Teresa and Jay are in some trouble right now. And I'm wondering if Corey is really going to go hard at Jay for what he did, if Kyle's going to be upset, but we'll just have to see what happens with that. The last part of the episode is always going to be the partner selection. Are you going to stay with your new partner, or are you going to get a new one? And Cam decides that she's going to stay with Kyle because, as much as it is really weird to say, I think that they are a good partnership. Kyle hasn't really annoyed me so far since he's been with Cam, and I feel like he really supports her and she supports him, so it is a good partnership. Corey is rogue since he's without a partner, which, I mean, Devin was also rogue, but then he got Gabby because Leo left, so it would be interesting to see if another female left the game. And it kind of makes me think, too, what would happen if Corey is a rogue agent and then let's say that Casey has to leave the game for whatever reason, and then Leroy is also a rogue agent. I guess that's just two people who don't participate, but that would be kind of suckish. I mean, good for them, but not suckish for, like, everybody else, just because they still have to participate and they might be with a bad partner. But obviously Corey will be safe next episode, and it'll be interesting to see what the aftermath is of the decision that Jay made. Since Corey probably can't go in, he's obviously going to be, I think, a lot more severe with what he's saying to people. So I'll be interested to see his wrath. Corey's obviously not my favorite, but it is entertaining to see him get upset at people for breaking the rules or for blindsiding him, even though he knows that it's the game. Like, it's still kind of funny, and I almost enjoy him going crazy like that. But I guess we won't know until next week. I didn't really watch the previews. I did see that Fessy and Kyle kind of argued a bit, but, I mean, they've argued in the past before, so I'm not sure if it's going to be really anything interesting. But I guess we'll just have to see next week. So I'll see you guys next Thursday for my next recap. And thanks for listening again.